Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all the promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your faith.
Beyond my fault.
welcome to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I am Wanda Adams, your host for the next hour, and do we have a show in store for you today? Today's show is all about being the best you and fulfilling your purpose, and we have a special guest that is an expert in that field. You know, sometimes in life, you have to go through some darkness before you can get to the light. And no matter what trials you may go through, there are always a blessing in the midst of the trial. And our special guest today is an awesome woman. She is a certified life coach. She's none other than Joan Jackson. Joan is originally from Cincinnati, Ohio, and presently she resides in San Diego, California. She is a former NFL wife, and she is the mother of two teenage sons. When you read her book, she's the author of the nationally noted The Playbook. It's a phenomenal book, and it's inspiring, and it's encouraging. And with no further ado, we're going to bring our special guest on the line, Joan Jackson. Hi, Joan. How are you today?
I'm good. How you doing, Wanda? And thank you for inviting me to your show.
Oh, you're welcome. I thank you for hanging out with us today. We know that you have a lot of wisdom inside you to share with us today, so I'm excited about that. And
Well, thank you.
Just as a side note, we were just listening to Tanya Dallas Lewis. That was her current single, "Thoughts." Did you like that song, Joan?
I did. Yeah, it was nice. I was really liking that. So her name is
Tanya Dallas Lewis. That's from her current. That's her current single entitled "Thoughts." I know you was like kind of bouncing in your seat.
Yes, it was very nice. I like that.
I thought that that was perfect to set the atmosphere for us. So we're going to go right to the heart of the matter. Joan, tell us, what is a life coach, for those that don't know?
A life coach is, I kind of describe it as like a trainer, like a physical trainer, fitness trainer. We actually, instead of putting you on a treadmill, we actually push you to perform. Like as if whatever you say you want to happen in your life, I coach you to make that happen. And what we do in life coaching is seven areas in your life that I have you look at, and I do a life analysis on that, on those seven areas to see what areas you need to actually focus on during the process of the coaching.
And what are those seven areas? What are the seven areas that you have an individual focus upon?
It's in our coaching structure that we get from being certified, we have a life wheel. And in my business, I call it life on the field because I describe everything more on the athletic lifestyle. So we have seven areas. The seven areas are your environment, meaning your workspace, your home space, your car, just the space that you live in and work in. And we have your relationships, which is that's the area that I specialize in. And that could be not only your significant other, it could be also family, friends, colleagues, anybody you come in contact with. And then we have your spiritual part, which is your beliefs and thoughts, and your finances. And then we put the career and business together. And that's what you do to earn money. And then we have your physical health part of your life. So those are also your recreation. I'm sorry. Recreation is very popular section that I work with because a lot of people don't put enough fun and leisure in their life because they work so hard or really involved in their career and their family and things like that. So. Yes.
Absolutely.
So those are the seven areas.
And those are good areas to start with. Now, how would a person, Joan, make the determinations that they need a life or a relationship coach?
Well, with my process, like I said, I take you through a life analysis, and it has all those areas on there, so you will fill that information out. And it just kind of gets you to flush out some things to find out what areas that is less focused, areas that you don't focus on as much, or areas that just really having some problems out of. And so when once they come to that, I give you two goals that you need to set within a six-month period. And that's how they really can see that they need coaching, because it's an area that's not balanced. And so when something's not balanced, then it just throws everything else off. So that's what a life coach does.
And it really makes you look at yourself, because, you know, sometimes for us, the hardest thing for a person to do is to see the inadequacies in our lives. You know, we
exactly.
all like to think we're perfect, Joan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm doing it right. It's, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. It's always the other person. So basically what you do is make me look at myself.
Exactly. And look at it on in black and white, because a lot of – I find that that as you become an adult – We're so busy, we doing so much and so many distractions going on in our life that we never stop and look at what's actually happening. Why is it that you're not feeling that balance in your life? So it's a good way of just getting you to slow down and look at what's going on and put everything in perspective.
Okay, now let's put away, you know, some of the myths. You know, sometimes people think that maybe a life coach or a relationship coach is just for the rich and famous, but that's not true. That can be for anybody that needs that kind of assistance, right?
Exactly. Now, you don't have to be in that high-profile life to have a life coach. A life coach is for anyone who's going through a transition, who's, mm-hmm. You know, divorce don't put a label on your status. You know,
mm-hmm.
when you're going through a divorce and you need someone to help you work through the difficulties in a divorce or difficulties in a relationship. So it's no gender level, no status level. It's a need. And it's a need more than even what we're stressing in. I'm sorry, you can hear background music.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay. We just gonna have fun with it. Joan, we're hanging out, we're having a conversation, and we're just going to empower our listeners so we know that sometimes things happen, and that's okay.
Okay, I'm sorry that, I don't know why I was so loud coming through the building. So you just, it's a need whether you have a situation, like some people don't like going to a therapist, and it's not a clinical need. That's what we're finding out, is they're life coaches for your life. For relationship situations, you know, any area in your life that needs to be addressed.
Okay, now I'd like to read an excerpt out of your book, and it was entitled The Life, and I found this interesting. You stated, as a child, I was a big dreamer, and I often fantasized about living a wonderful life. When I married my college sweetheart, who would later become an NFL star, my dreams became reality. At least that's what I thought. Living the glamorous life of an NFL player's wife brings a lot of opportunity and advantages, but those things don't come without a price. I went on and traded diamonds for deliverance and cars for character. Do you feel that kind of in going through that maybe you compromised or sold out to that lifestyle?
You do, because it's a lot going on. I mean, at a point where it's just a lot of high-profile things, the money, the camera, the flash, everything that's going around you, it's a tough lifestyle to try to maintain that with ministry, with Christianity. So you do. Yeah, you do. But you have to get a handle on it. That's the thing.
And how did your faith in God, what part did that play in you rediscovering yourself?
Oh, it played a huge part. I mean, I don't recommend anyone not to even think about moving through a celebrity lifestyle or any lifestyle without seeking God. It affected me in a way where, I mean, it was a very much a plus in my life. When I started putting God first, that's when things start really the balance start coming back in my life.
Mm-hmm.
My life start opening up more, and I was able to hear him in a way and have that personal relationship in a way where I was not being sold to the world.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel sometimes, you know, when we achieve, Joan, everything that we want to achieve in life, that sometimes we put Christ on the back burner, you know, we don't think we need him now.
Yes.
And then that's when, you know, we begin to fail, you know, is that we think, you know, I got the stardom, you know, I have the big house, I have the cars, I have the money, so I'm okay now, God. I'll call you when I need you.
Right. And we fall into that. I mean, anybody really fall into that. But in that lifestyle, it's very easy to fall into that actual mindset. But when you're seeking God and, you know, and God start revealing stuff to you, and if you're seeking him in a way where you're really walking it out and really practicing lordship, then you'll start understanding that those diamonds, those pearls, and the flash and all that, it's really not, it can burn. It can be gone quick. It can burn.
Absolutely. And, you know, because those things are just temporal. You know, they're not
very
there.
Very temporary, yes.
Yeah. And so, you know, I know it sounds, you know, a little traditional, a little churchy, but, you know, someone once told me, you know, it's only the things that you do for Christ that's going to last.
Right.
And that really is the foundation that you have to build everything upon.
You're right. You have to have that foundation. You know, you build that foundation on sand, and it's going to fall. You have to have a strong foundation to be able to move through this world, this fallen world, you know, not only through a celebrity lifestyle, which is an additional weight on you when you're moving through, you know, such fast of a lifestyle and all the things that come with it that can deter you from seeking God. You know, you have to build a strong foundation.
Absolutely. Now, how did you come up with the title, The Playbook? I like that title.
Through prayer. God gave me that about, I guess, in 2005, when I was really going through a really tough time just trying to get over the severance of our covenant. And I was just praying, and God kept telling me I need to write a book. People kept saying, you need to write a book. And I was like, I don't need to write no book, you know. I don't tell everybody all this stuff that's went on in this lifestyle. I didn't want to be
able to talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk about it. But, yes, it's the playbook was given to me from my personal relationship with God, and my subtitle is Helping You Find Yourself After Life Fumbles.
But isn't that just how God always ordained things? Because I'm pretty sure that you never thought that you would be doing any of this, that you had something else in mind for you. But because this, because, you know, the Word of God says that we overcome by the power of our testimony, and what you endured in your testimony is really changing the lives of others.
Yes. I mean, through my life coaching, through my speaking engagements, through my workshops, everything is backed up with scripture. Everything is all what God showed me. I was a real estate agent, and I owned a salon and day spa, and I would never dream the things that I'm doing right now. But although I was doing it and didn't realize I was doing it, because through the 10 years being at the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was part of the Wives Association. Each team has a Wives Association, and I was the wife that everybody came to when they had life issues, relationship situations. Even through my difficult divorce, I was having several people call me at the same time, you know, around the same time, wanting me to solve their divorces and their relationships. And I'm like, wait a minute, I'm having a hard time myself. But
I'm gonna help you, huh?
Yeah, I couldn't figure out. And I really cried out to God, like, what's going on? Until, you know, about 3 years ago when God really spoke to me and said, this is what you're going to be doing. And I was like, wow, you know. And so I have such a deep passion. And, you know, he's totally guided me through it. I would never have imagined.
And that's just how he works. Now, I want to read another excerpt out of your book entitled The Black Moment. And it reads, 20 years, 2 decades, I don't have to say, that's a long time. Most of my young adult life was spent with this man, and now I'm left to navigate the anger, the depression, and the fear of the unknown all by myself. Along this way, I have two sons who are on an emotional roller coaster as well. My journey through the black moment is a discovery of myself. Some people say we fell out of love, but we really didn't. What happened is that we fell out of trust. Elaborate on that for me, Joan, because I thought that was so powerful, and it gives a great insight into, you know, a marital relationship. So elaborate a little bit about that passage to our listeners.
Okay. Well, I had a really bad problem with people. I would hear women say, I fell out of love. And I'm like, how can you, you know, your emotions have to line up to that change.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because one person changed because they do something outside of the marriage. And so that's where the change takes place. But the other person, how both of your emotions going to line up with that change that quick? So in that emotions, I'm saying your love for one another, how do you just fall out of love for somebody that quick? So I feel like you fall out of trust.
Absolutely.
Because ultimately the trust is what you lose instantly. You lose the trust instantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, you know, we have the wrong definition of what love is anyway.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you know, I agree with you wholeheartedly. You can't just immediately fall out of love with somebody, because if you could do that, then you didn't love them in the first place.
Right, right. And also, you know, Wanda, that love piece is an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
When people say
I think
it's for them to make themselves feel okay to say that they fell out of love. So that's what happened. I just fell out of love with her, or I just fell out of love with him, and I just feel it's an excuse. And I, you know, it really, you know, went deep in my heart when I really thought through that. And that's when I wrote my book, it was a book to heal me. And the book actually healed me through the process. By me having to keep writing it over, and reading it over and reading it over. And then how God was speaking to me through the book to be able to put this down. But that was a really profound part of me understanding how people can just fall out of love.
Now, we know that divorce is a very painful process. You know, it's a difficult situation to find yourself in, whether you saw it coming or not. Why do you think it is difficult for some people to move forward after divorce?
You know, that's a good question, Wanda, because I have a couple people that I've had to deal with that recently that I'm coaching. It's a lack of communication between the two, and it's this thing about change that's really been burning in my spirit. The person changes. People in the cup, you know, in the marriage changed. And the other person didn't realize. It's like the other person once sent that memo on when the change took place. I'll go back to that. When that change took place, it's like the other person didn't realize it. And they just basically, it's just one of the things where they just didn't realize it. So I think that's what happens when people just fall out of the relationship.
But, you know, Joan, I think we need to realize, you know, change is going to come. It's inevitable. You know, people don't remain the same. And sometimes we have to embrace the change that happens with our significant other.
You do. You have to embrace the change. But when it's a change where it destroys the couple, destroys the marriage, that's the change I'm talking about. Now, when you're making a change of growth, of personal growth, when you know, changing your career, changing your health, your appearance, but when you change in your communication and your love for one another, that's the change I'm talking about.
And what do you think sometimes, again, we're talking about, you know, if you love somebody, what would make a person change, you know, their love or the way they would approach their significant other? You know, what are some of the warning signs or what can people, you know, see to help them, you know, not go there?
What can they see to help them not go there? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You know, because, you know, we talk about love, and I mean, and maybe I'm wording the question incorrectly, but, you know, I guess in our relationships we can see when, you know, something is going wrong. Or is it just that we just ignore it, or do we just, you know, expect it to go away without addressing it?
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Well, a lot of times when people are in relationships, they see it or they even feel it, but sometimes they are in denial over it. And it's kind of fearful, and the fear becomes paralyzing to some people also. I know I found that a lot in relationships that, or they can inquire about it, but they can't really nail what's happening, actually going on, because the person is hiding it so much that, it, you know, it eventually becomes, I mean, eventually it's going to be revealed. But during that process, it could be denial, you know, denial, or the other person is in denial in one way and the other person is in denial in another way, where that's where the fears start coming in, and then they get paralyzed in that fear.
Well, Joan, do you think sometimes that we think, you know, if we're completely transparent or if we're completely honest, that, you know, our partner may think we're weak?
Yes, that could be. That could be. I mean, if you're talking about a Christian couple, then that would be a good thing to be transparent. But to be weak, to think that person is weak by being transparent, I think being transparent is good.
I don't know
where the weakness would come behind it, but yes.
Well, you know, a lot of times, especially even in Christian marriages, is sometimes we're not all, or we don't do what the Word of God tells us to do in our relationship. And sometimes, you know, people think that if I show a person this side of me, or if I reveal this to me, they may have a different mindset toward me.
Okay, right. Right. Well, normally that happens in any relationship. You know, the fear of not really wanting to be transparent. And the weakness of it would be that's where the fear comes in at. So I think the best thing is to, it's the best thing is to be transparent, but yeah, I can see someone feeling like that, feeling like they, if they tell everything, then it would be a sign of weakness.
Or, you know, sometimes, like say, if you're in a relationship and maybe, you know, your spouse is not looking at nobody else, or only has the interest for you, but, you know, there's certain things that make you feel insecure that person does, and it could be, you know, like harmless, but, you know, you're afraid to address it because you don't want that person to think that you're insecure. And for me, I think, you know, I'm an upfront person, Joan. I like, you know, I'm just going, and maybe that's my biggest thing to a fault is I'm just going to put it out there.
Right. Yeah, but putting it out there might not be, you have to pick the proper time to put it out there.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you're going to put it out there, you got to be able to be strong with it and have courage with it, because it's going, you know, consequences going to come with it. If it's a bad situation, then you have to be able to tear through the, you know, be able to stand strong in the consequences of it. But if it's something that you just want to share, you know, it's up to the other person on how they're going to respond.
Okay. Well, Joan, we're going to take a quick music break, and I want our listeners to stay tuned because we're going to come back. We have tons of questions for you.
Okay.
Listeners, if you have a question for Joan, you can call in at 917-932-7000. 1720. Again, that number is 917-932-1720. Or you can email us at marketingministryatlive.com. We're going to take a quick music break, and we're going to come back with more from Joan Jackson.
Turn me up a little bit. Yeah, right there.
Listen, the next time you driving in your car, or you coming out your house, and somebody looking so crazy, point to the sky and tell them this.
How I got this and that and the other. But there is no logical explanation for these things. All of these good things happen by chance. No one, no coincidence. But your favorite lasts for a lifetime. And this is my life and my time. And I'm receiving what is mine.
He ain't finished.
All that I need.
in mind. When anybody's hating on you because of the favor of the Lord on your life, I want you to stand up straight, point your finger to the sky, and say with authority, come on!
Welcome back to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I am your host, Wanda Adams, and our special guest today is Certified Life and Relationship Coach Joan Jackson. Joan, since I opened up the phone lines, our queue is full. People have questions for you.
Oh, good.
So we're going to start off. Caller, are you on the line and you have a question for Joan? I believe this is a caller from an unknown number. I cannot see your area code. Well, I guess they're a little shy, Joan. I just received an email, and this is a million-dollar question. One of our listeners said, wanted to ask you, why do men cheat? So I guess if you had the answer to that, you'd be a very, very rich woman.
Well, with the cheating part, you know, I always say it's you know, definitely it's not the person who they're cheating on to that extent, but I think it's something deep within them that they're not, you know, they're not actually happy with something going on in their life. So with that, I also feel that if they had a stronger intimate relationship with God, then they would not, they would have more fear for God, and then that would be something that would deter them not to do it. But I know we have some Christian men out there that do cheat. So that is a million-dollar question. But I really feel that you just have to have that personal relationship with God. And if they don't have it, then they're open to the world. They're open
Absolutely.
To the world.
Mm-hmm. We have another email that says, are women better listeners than men?
Yes, I think so. And I don't want to get myself in trouble with that, but, and it, you know, really, because I feel that we're more emotional. You know, we want to hear things. We want to know things more, and we want things to be more secure. Whereas with men, I think they're, you know, they want things to be secure, but they, you know, they're the hunters. They're busy trying to get out and do what they need to do to provide for the home and provide for their family. So that's where I would get where we would be better listeners, because we're more multitasking gender.
Now, Joan, what is the one thing that women, I know there's many things, but what is that one important thing that women misunderstand about men?
What is the most important thing that women
misunderstand about men.
About men. Let me see.
You want to come back to that one?
Yeah, well, the most important thing I would think would be they're not as, like I said before, I think they're less emotional than us, and I feel that they think different than we do. Let's go back to that question. Let me think about that a little bit more.
Okay. Now, I also know that you do parenting coaching, and how important is it for a parent to not just tell their kids but to lead by example? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, that's a really good question. You have to lead by the example in a way where you need to have a strong foundation. You need to let them see you do what you want them to do as far as in their life. So if you're saying to the kid that your son or daughter, that you want them to stand strong with God, to go to church, to have good people around them, then you have to do that. You know, express a good relationship. Now, things happen. But you have to let them see that you know that that particular thing happened, and let them see you work through it and work towards it. So, yes.
Now, in reading your bio and material, I saw that one of the things that you said as parents that we don't do or we need to do more of is to teach our children how to have healthy relationships. Expound on that a little bit more for us.
Well, by teaching them is by them seeing you have a healthy relationship and and letting them see that it's very important to have a healthy relationship, not them let them see you in a bad situation or abusive situation. You have to have a healthy relationship. So it's lead by example.
Okay. Now, Joan, tell us, what are some of the projects that you are currently involved in?
Well, right now I have I have my upcoming book that I'll be taking orders for on my website, so you can come in and to my contact and give me your contact information, and I'll get in touch with you to purchase the book. Also, I have a radio show, the San Diego Online Radio Show, on Tuesdays from 1 to 2. Yeah, it's called The Relationship Show, and I have guests in. Guest on the online radio show, and you can go into a chat room and actually ask questions or make comments and things like that. Currently doing workshops once a month in San Diego, downtown San Diego Gas Lamp. It's called 2010 Balance Workshop. I've been doing those all year. It's a great workshop to find out what's not balanced in your life, and it's also a good networking for businesses and business owners.
Well, you
have
a lot going on.
I got a lot of stuff going on. So I actually have a reel that's on YouTube that you can watch, and it's called Joan Coaching Lives. So you can just put that in YouTube, and you can watch me in action at a coffee shop where I used to do a lot of workshops. And then just check out my website, www.coachinglives.com.
Okay.
CoachingLives.net. I'm sorry, CoachingLives.net.
Okay. Now, we just got another email that one of our listeners wants to know, do women have a more difficult time in moving forward out of a relationship than men?
Yes. Yes. What I find in my one-on-one coaching, and I do one-on-one coaching, that's four times a month, if you want to know a little about my program. And what I do on my one-to-one coaching, I find that out a lot because it's one of them things where men seem to have, they normally get things together a lot sooner. They have a plan before they actually escape. So, and women, they kind of hold on a little bit longer. This is what I'm finding out more in my coaching over the years of being in the NFL, with different couples and marriages and in the ministry part of my church, we seem to hold on a lot longer than men do. Does that answer the question?
It does. You're doing great. Because, you know, if we – do you think that we – that sometimes women may hold on longer because, you know, they want to reconcile the relationship or they're just not ready to move forward?
Well, I think it's more we like security. We're the creatures of security. So it's like we like family. We want, and not saying that men don't like family, but I say in my book when I talk about me in an early age of playing with Barbies and, you know, doll babies, we started out early having that family type feeling in our heart. Whereas boys, you know, when men were boys, they went out, they, you know, baseball, they out in the yard, they was doing a lot of activity outside, so they really didn't start that relationship of family to a later age. So I believe women, we get so into, you know, just having that Leave It to Beaver type family life, that's what we want. You know, we bred it, we was trained to want family, to have family. So I think that's why it's a little bit harder for us to move out of relationship. But women are learning now to get up and go, it's, you know, in this era. But I know overall we like to have family.
Absolutely. Now, I got another email, and this is from a teenager, Joan, and they want to know, mm-hmm. what do you think is the number one issue that young people have with their parents?
Number one issue that people have, as a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
Communication.
I guess this is a young person wanting to know.
I would say communication. Because it's beginning to be a communication breakdown with all the social media that's
mm-hmm.
out there. You know, I had a show on that last week, before last, on the controversy of surviving, you know, surrounding the social media. And the parents are not as up with the social media as the teenagers are. So teenagers want to communicate more through text messaging and cell phones and all that, and it's in the TV and the cable and all that is making that communication gap in your household, where everybody goes in the house and they go to their computer, they go to the, you know, their text messaging or cable TV, and no one's communicating in the households anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I think communication has been in the way of a teenager and a parent. A lack of communication, lack of communication.
There's no more family time. You know, I don't want to tell my age, but, you know, when I was growing up, you know, it was essential for, you know, everybody to be around the table at dinner time and to have that communication.
Right.
And I think we don't do that anymore.
You're right. And that's where I'm saying that's just where it's taking us away, Facebook, you know, all these different things. And don't get me wrong, they're great. You know, I do it. I mean, everybody do it, but it's just need some boundaries set in the household in order
mm-hmm.
for, you know, the household to be able to communicate correctly. Yeah, put some old school stuff back in there.
Yeah, you know, we need a balance.
Yes, the balance. And that's what, and basically just pitching my workshop, that's why I started the workshop. It was totally through prayer where God wanted me to show people that they need balance. They need to feel that balance and recognize that balance. And it's a constant thing that you have to work on. Just set goals.
Absolutely. You know, and marriages, you know, they were, you know, if you think you're going to have a fairy tale marriage, then, you know, you live in La La Land, because marriages takes a lot of work. Any relationship takes a lot of work.
Yes. Yes, you're correct. It takes a lot of work, and I feel that marriage should, they, you know, just how you date it should remain. And I think they get away from it. Once the marriage hat gets on, it's like, I'm done. Okay, I got you. We're together, and we're in a home, and everybody go their separate ways and try to keep this home, and everybody do what they have to do to, you know, to keep yourself fulfilled. But in marriage, I feel like, Number one thing, don't go into the marriage without being whole and complete. And my word for that is singleness, being
mm-hmm.
whole, complete, and unique. Because you get into the marriage and you not notice that you want that person to complete you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a process, too, that I feel that you should already know who you are and know what God expects of you. And if both people are feeling that way, then they're on the same accord.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're looking for the perfect mate, in my opinion, you know, Jesus Christ gives a perfect example of what you should look for in your partner. You know, Jesus courted the church. He wooed the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't forsake the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you look at that and base those things, because, you know, I believe that, you know, the Bible puts out everything that we need to complete each and every area in our lives. And sometimes, you know, we do it backwards. Just as you said, Joe, you look for a man to complete you. And if that's what you're looking for, then you'll never be complete.
Exactly. Exactly. It's very important. Even if you're already in a marriage,
mm-hmm.
take a look at that. I mean, look up that word in the dictionary, singleness. It means whole and complete and unique. And take a look at that and start thinking about things that you can do to get yourself complete, because it puts a really hard damper on your marriage, because you constantly waiting for your mate to make you happy. to help you with certain situations where if you see God and know who you are, then you wouldn't look for your mate to bring that into your life, because it's not. It's all about getting that balance, everyone finding out what's not balanced in your life and letting that balance start coming back into your life, and then you'll start seeing your whole world open up.
Absolutely. Well, Joan, we thank you so much for joining us today and sharing with us everything that God has imparted into you. Now, give our listeners the information that if they want to contact you, where they can get more information about you or to pick up your book, where do they go?
You can go on my website, www.coachinglives.net. My cell phone number is 858-472-1065, and I also have an email, joan@coachinglives.net. So those are three things that you can get in touch with me, and also find out about my workshops and all the information that I have going in my business.
Well, again, we thank you so much. I want all you listeners to go out and get a copy of the playbook. You can get that at her website. Email her.
Well, let me know. The book is upcoming, and they can come in and give me all the information, and then we can take pre-orders for it. So they can go into the contact list of my website and leave your information, and then I'll have someone contact you to pre-order it.
Okay. So you hear that, listeners, you can pre-order a copy of Joan's book, The Playbook, and so you can go to her website, and she just gave you the website address. You can go there and put in your information so that you can be on her list, so you'll be the first to get a copy of The Playbook. So once again, Joan, I thank you so much for hanging out with us. We don't take it lightly because we know that you could have been doing a lot of different things, but we are so grateful that you did take the time out to hang out with us today. So we thank you so much, and we know that your book is going to be very, very successful. So everybody, we give a big marketing ministry's welcome and a big thank you to Joan Jackson.
Well, thank you.
We're going to take another music break. We're going to play for you Faith by Princess Roche. Enjoy.
Every time you feel like giving up, don't worry, stay strong and keep your head up. Every time you feel like giving in, hold on, look up to the sky, there is a prince. Every time you feel like you want to quit, someone's there to give you peace of mind. Don't have
Welcome back to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. You were just listening to Faith by Princess Roche. That's her current single from her EP entitled Personal. She's an awesome young woman of God, and her CD is available online, so pick up your copy today. Well, we are coming to a close on the MMRS. We want to give a special thanks to our special guest, Joan Jackson, Life and Relationship Coach, for hanging out with us today. I have a few announcements for you. If you're in the Atlanta, Georgia area, on June 11th through June 13th, New Mercy's Christian Center in Lilburn, Georgia, is hosting their Crown Jewels Women's Conference. The theme for this year is Unlocking the Kingdom Within. So you want to make sure that you come out and support them and fellowship with them. And for additional information, you can go to www.newmercycc.org. Again, that website is www.newmercycc.org. Also, if you're looking to promote your project, your artist, a pastor, or your praise dance group, check out Gospel Innovations at www.gospelinnovations.com. They're a phenomenal website that are showcasing the best in gospel innovations. Also, if you have any questions for us, if you like what we're doing, if you want to be featured on Marketing Ministry, the radio show, shoot us an email at marketingministry@live.com. Again, that email address is marketingministry@live.com. We're really excited about next week's show. We're going to have the awesome Christian and gospel group, 5 a.m. Praise. They'll be hanging out with us next Saturday, so you want to mark your calendar, set your reminder, tune in, because it's going to be another phenomenal show. Again, with 5 a.m. Praise, so you want to tune in for that. And remember, don't be afraid to step out and cast your vision. Be all that you can be in Christ Jesus. You know, God loves vision, and, you know, we want to please him, and we want to do everything that he has called us to be. So this week, step out, cast your vision. If you need direction, hit us up via email and let us know what we can do to help you cast your vision. Again, I'm your host, Wanda Adams. I thank you for tuning in to Marketing Ministries. And until next time, walk out your vision, trust God, and we'll see you next Saturday, same time. Be blessed.